scepter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the 12, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. So, at the beginning of chapter 10 of the Gospel of Matthew, which we've had actually chapter 9 through 10 in the last few weeks, the beginning of the Gospel, the chapter 10 of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus is teaching his disciples the power that they have in his name. He says, when you go out in my name, you are going to be able to heal people. You're going to do miracles. You can even raise the dead. He says, go into towns, go into people's homes, and tell them about God's love. Teach them the things that I've taught you. And the things about gathering the outcast in and erasing boundaries between groups of people, welcoming every last neighbor in my name. And as Jesse, if you weren't here last week, we had a guest preacher, and Jesse told us that in the middle of the 10th chapter of Matthew, that Jesus continues on to say, and this stuff that you're going to go out and do, these things that you're going to say, they're going to cause a problem. You're going to stir up the pot. It's going to cost you, actually, it's going to cost you a lot to go out in my name and declare that the world is actually unified instead of divided. For some of you, Jesus says, your families will turn on you, and for some of you, your communities will, maybe your place of work will reject you. So Jesus has set up a pretty intense picture of this mission of the church. It is our task to take the message of who God is and how God loves into the world, even when the world doesn't want to hear it. Jesus says, you're not just going to say it with your mouth. You're going to be healing people. You're going to have the powers that I have when you go out into the world. You're going to do miracles, and you will stir up the world, and not everybody will like it. And then today, we get just a little short piece at the end of the gospel of chapter 10, and Jesus says, as you go out and do and say these things in my name, some people will welcome you, and those who welcome you are actually welcoming me, and those who welcome me welcome the one who sent me. So this is an enormous, intimidating picture. Not only are we going out and we're going to have this incredible power, but we're going to do it in the name of Jesus, and those who welcome us are actually welcoming the Father, the creator of the universe. It's an enormous task, this spreading of the gospel. And this is a big job with great power. And if we learn anything from Spider-Man, we know that with great power comes great responsibility. And then Jesus says, so we have this picture of this really big task with enormous power, the power to heal and raise from the dead. And then Jesus says, and, you know, if you give a cup of cold water to someone who's thirsty, that's gospel too. So this gospel work, this spreading of the news that God loves the world, happens in big ways. One of the ways I learned about this week, I spent the week at camp, and there were many pastors who had confirmation kids there, and we were all leaders in different ways. And Pastor Matt Simpkins was there. He's a colleague of mine that I see at meetings, and I know sort of who he is, but I got to really spend time with him this week. And he is a pastor at Christ Lutheran in Charlotte, which is the largest Lutheran church we have in North Carolina, thousands of members. But he's a pastor there, but his call is to start a new campus of that church in South Charlotte. So he's not called to start another church that looks just like all the other ELCA congregations in North Carolina. He is called to go into the community, listen to the folks, ask them questions about what feeds them, what they're hungry for, what's missing, what, and then create a Christian, Lutheran, Christian worshiping community for them to bring in those who are not churched into the church. So I asked him, when you asked people what they were hungry for, what did they tell you? What did you learn? What have you heard? And he said, Jennifer, people cannot get enough of the Bible. He said, I preach for 30 to 40 minutes on a Sunday morning. I promise I won't do that to you. He said, I have to be so well prepared for my sermon because 30 to 40 minutes isn't enough. And in the fellowship hour, certainly they don't call that a narthex, but during the fellowship hour afterward, he gets big, thick, deep theological questions. He told me it is a very big job that changes shape every day. He said it's thrilling and intimidating and terrifying all wrapped up in one call. He said they decided to do an Easter egg hunt the Saturday before Easter. And they planned for more than 100 kids because they thought maybe 100 kids would come. So they wanted to make sure that they had enough little plastic eggs filled with candy, right? In case 100 kids came. Well, more than 200 kids came. And let's just play a little guessing game here, and you tell me how many people do you think showed up at the new campus of Christ Lutheran in South Charlotte the day before Easter? 500? 600? 1,000. 1,000 people willing to step onto a church campus space and be told not just about candy, but about Easter. He said they had to run to Target, and they were pushing eggs and candy into their carts and going through the line as fast as they could. And of course, they were asked at the cash register, what's going on? And they said, it's a miracle. And when they got back, you know, you still have to fill the eggs. I mean, there's a lot of work still. And he said, somehow, all of that happened. And it was not unlike the feeding of the 5,000. There was enough. And there were lots of people. So Pastor Matt Simpkins is stepping boldly into a place that Lutherans in North Carolina kind of haven't stepped. And he's telling the story of God's love to people who haven't heard it or who have heard it before, but in ways that aren't helpful and are painful. That sounds to me like the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew's Chapter 10, big, bold, go out and do big things and change whole communities. And today we get this much smaller, more subtle image of service. After Jesus has made this big list of big, bold, powerful ways to serve, he says, oh, also, just a cup of cold water to someone who's thirsty, that's enough too. So 2 weeks ago, when I was in the emergency room after I had fallen, I was having my head tended to. I wasn't allowed any water, and I suppose that's because they weren't sure if there would be surgery or anything. Before I had a CT scan to discover that there was no bleeding on my brain, praise God, that was something we had to learn. If there were to be any surgery, then a stomach full of water would not have been a good thing. So I was thirsty for a long while. I was several hours, actually. I was thirsty, I think, probably from my panic and from my pain and from the medication. I asked for water a few times, I think maybe in case they changed their mind or something. I'm not sure why I kept asking. And each time a nurse, I had several nurses that night, a nurse would furrow his or her brow and shake their head gently and have to tell me that, no, they couldn't bring me any water. And it hurt them to have to say that. After my CT scan did show that I did not have any bleeding on my brain and my stapled head and I were going to go home with my daughter, after, you know, somebody signed some paperwork somewhere, there's like this moment between they say, hey, you're going to go home, and then you actually go home because somebody has to sign something somewhere, I think. They were very busy serving our community that night. So after I had learned I could go home and I was still waiting and Sage was with me and it was, you know, 2 or 3 in the morning, I asked for water again. And this time, the nurse smiled so broadly and he said, would you like ice in your water? He was as relieved as I that he could afford me the thing I needed. He could bring me a cup of cold water. This same nurse had helped me in enormous ways that night, had used all of his years of training and expertise in the midst of a very serious health crisis. I would say he had his hand in a miracle. And also, he brought me a cup of cold water when I was very thirsty. Jesus says, you are going to go out and use every gift you have. And you're going to invoke the power of the name of God. And you're going to serve and change the world. And you're going to do it in big, measurable ways that you can count with Easter eggs and chocolate and thousands of people. And you're going to serve in minor ways that don't seem so big, but it's all gospel work. So I have asked our kids, our camp kids, to be prepared to tell you where God was revealed to them this week. If we gave them time to tell you all about their week, we would be here for hours. All of the ways that they felt and received forgiveness, all of the ways they learned new and silly and beautiful and even Spanish ways to praise God. They learned to look at others with more compassionate eyes, and they were seen with more compassionate eyes. A week of camp is jam-packed with big experiences, these big God moments that make you cry around the fire, the campfire, and also cups of cold water, small gestures of kindness and generosity. So I'm going to invite our campers to come up. And come on, just come on up. Yep, Justin. I've asked them to, in a sentence or two, explain a moment of camp. Some